Our Bibles this morning in Psalms. I'm going to start with Psalms chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole book of Psalms. No, I'm just kidding. Psalm 2. Book of Psalms. I do have several places for you to turn, though. Psalm chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 12, where it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Look down in chapter 4, verse 5. "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Look in chapter 5, verse 11. "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Look in chapter 7, verse 1. "O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me." And one last one, chapter 9, verse 10. There are tons more, but we'll suffice ourselves with those four or five. 9:10. "And they shall know thy name," "know thy name, will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, our Father, we come to you this morning, and there's a pretty evident theme throughout those verses. Lord, we pray that you might help us as Bible-believing Christians, and perhaps somebody here that's not a Christian, to truly put our trust in thee. Father, may we see the importance of it here this morning. May your word quicken us in these affairs here today. May we be edified by what we hear, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in each of those passages we read, there's a very plain theme of trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. We all know those verses. We can all cite them off the tops of our head. But as much as trust was the theme of those five verses I read you, there is another word, though, that I'd like to highlight this morning. It's just a three-letter word, just a little three-letter verb. A lost man's eternity hinges on that little three-letter verb. And in many respects, a Christian's spiritual well-being hinges on that little three-letter verb. And that little three-letter verb is put. In each of those passages, it said to put thy trust in the Lord. When you combine the three-letter verb put with the five-letter word trust, you have eight very important letters there, because it tells you what you should do. And it's a matter of your spiritual well-being in eternity. I can tell you this. You come home with a wallet and some keys, maybe a purse, a cell phone, a bag of groceries, a jug of milk, and you just get in the door with all the stuff you're juggling, and within an hour, some at least, and perhaps it'll wait till next morning, somebody's yelling, "Where did I put my," whatever it is, wallet, cell phone, wedding ring, whatever. And there's, first of all, an issue that we talk about here of the thing that you put. For instance, you put your wallet somewhere. It was not that long ago that I left my wallet on top of the gas pump at Bill's service station up by my house. I was well away from it before I remembered it, and it was still sitting there when I got back. But I put my wallet there and then forgot that I put it there. You put the mail or a check or some important papers down somewhere. If you're not careful, you'll forget where you put it. Joel Bierman, most of you know him, got out of Bible school, moved up here. And one night after church, he put his study Bible, the Bible he had 3 years of notes in, on top of his car before he left church. Proceeded down the road with the Bible on top of the car. It fell off on 35 or 694 or whatever, and trucks and cars were running over it. It was destroyed. The importance of where you put something. what it is that you put there. I've gotten in the habit when I do a wedding, because the bride and the groom are so frazzled by the end of the process, and by wedding day, I always try to talk them into giving me their wedding rings and their marriage license so I can put it in the safe, because I know where it is and they know where it is. It's in there and it'll be safe there. Because those things are rather important on a wedding day. So there's, first of all, the value of the thing that is to be put. And I'll tell you this, we're talking about putting our trust in the Lord this morning. There is no way that you can quantitatively evaluate trust, belief, faith. Because I'll tell you this right now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I will just say that, yes, for our purposes this morning, I'm saying that essentially trust and faith and belief are the same thing. Now, I'll tell you this, your eternal soul swings on what you're trusting, on what you have faith in. Is that right? It's impossible to put a quantitative value on your soul and what trust will get you for that soul. I'd like to say, secondly, along this line, there is the issue of where you put this thing of great value, where you put your trust. A gas pump is no place to put your wallet. I learned that. The top of a car is no place to put your study Bible. The British do not put the crown jewels on the kitchen counter. They don't do it because they're too important. Your great-grandmother's fine china that you inherited, my guess is they are not in a cabinet stacked with the rest of the dishes, with all the McDonald's plasticware and all that kind of stuff. That's not where it belongs. There's an issue of where you put something of such value. A long time ago, I got in the habit, trying to teach Joseph the habit, of if my wallet is not in my pocket, it is on my desk at a certain place. If my keys are not in my pocket, they're in my desk here or on my desk at home. That way, I always know where they are, because it is a very empty feeling to do this and it's not there. There's an issue of putting something of value somewhere. We speak today of trust, to put your trust in the Lord. It is a day when folks are very, very dismissive in the public. They're very, very careless with these things. Some hardly even consider these things anymore. I just want to say, judgment will be a rude awakening. Because you're going to have to stand, everyone will have to stand one day before God, the God of the universe, who gave you an eternal soul. And then said, the way you fix the problem with this soul is to put your trust in me. Now, where did you put it? Where did you put your trust? That's the title of the message this morning. Where have you put it? All five texts that I read, put your trust in the Lord. Where have you put it? Goes not only for lost folks, it goes for saved folks. A saved saint walking with God is called to keep his trust put in the Lord. It's a three-letter verb, put. I want to say, first of all, along this line, no matter what anybody says, you will put it somewhere. A guy comes in the front door or from the garage, he has a bag of groceries, he's got the mail, he just got at the mailbox. He's got a jug of milk in the other hand. He's got a briefcase, a wallet, keys, and a cell phone. I can tell you what the guy's going to do. It never fails. He will put that stuff somewhere. Unless you want to walk around the house with two bags of groceries, a gallon of milk, and all the other stuff that you're carrying, you're going to put it down. I just want to say, men and women walk through life. They have burdens of sin and guilt. They have concerns and troubles of all matters and sorts. They have dreams. They have hopes. And I can tell you this, they're going to put them somewhere. You don't just carry those things around and not put them somewhere and not trust something. I want to say, you will put them somewhere. It is ever so popular now to disparage and mock Bible-believing Christians, people of faith, people of biblical faith, because we're supposed to be redneck hicks, and we're supposed to be uneducated goons, that sort of thing. But I can tell you this, I learned one of the great, I would say one of the top five lessons spiritually that I've learned in life, for what it's worth, is that everybody puts their trust somewhere. Everybody is a believer somewhere in some things, and sometimes those things they believe in are absolutely ridiculous. But without fail, no matter who you talk to, everybody is trusting something. Everybody has put their trust somewhere. And sometimes blindly. Here are ultra-scientific folks who, it's very common these days, who believe evolution. They have put their trust in an idea that goes back multiple billions of years as if somebody was there observing it happen. It's blind trust. You will put your trust somewhere. An atheist gambles and trusts that there is no God. He has all his eggs in one basket. He said, I'm an atheist and I believe there is no God. He has, without any ground or standard whatsoever, decided that there must be no God. Everybody places their trust somewhere. The philosopher sifts through all the different schools of philosophy and settles on the things that he likes. Everybody puts their trust somewhere. Again, one of the great disparagers of Christians these days is a guy named Richard Dawkins. And he was asked one time, and he's long disparaged the idea of God creating the heavens and the earth. It's just a joke to him. And so they said, well, where do you think that we men came from? He said, I think that aliens seeded us here. Now, it's a joke what we believe, but he believes that aliens put us here. Everybody trusts something. It is without fail. It is always that way. I'd like to say something second here. There are a staggering number of options of things that you can trust. We won't go through all the Bible with it this morning, but the first time you find in the Word of God somebody putting their trust somewhere is a place in Judges chapter 9. And those men put their trust in another guy. The next place that putting somebody's trust comes up in the Word of God, somebody put their trust in Egypt, a type of the world. And finally, on the third time in the Bible, somebody put their trust in the Lord. But I'm saying this morning that there are so many things. There's a plethora there. There is just a staggering number of places the world propositions you to place your trust. In the Bible, men put their trust in man, in Egypt, in vanity, in their bows, in their chariots, in their wealth, in their princes, in their gods, in lying words, in themselves, in the flesh. And the Bible says, he that trusteth his own heart is a fool. My point, folks, is now you stop and think of the information era that we live in. You think of the access that we have to things. And think of the number of voices. Think of the clamor of folks clamoring for you to believe this or believe that and come our way and trust this or trust that. Think of all the frauds. Think of all the different kind of pills you could take that are supposed to make you lose weight, and none of them do. Think of all the different things, all the different places you can write off to and give them your $19.99 so that you can have their product, which promises to grow hair on a bald head. And it's all fraud. It's all a joke. And then you stop and consider spiritually. You stop and consider the clamor for your trust, for your faith. Come and believe us. There's religion. There's all the different sects. There are all the different cults. There are all the different branches. There are all the different sidelights. All the folks that have veered off the path and gone a dozen, two dozen, three dozen, a thousand different ways. You can believe almost anything. New Age, Buddha, Confucius, God is in nature. Everything in the world is offered. Come, trust us. Hey, over here, come trust this. There's all the self-betterment opportunities. There's all the warm, fuzzy promises. There's all the things that men wish you to take confidence in, wish for you to come and believe in. Insurance, investments, education, philanthropy, doctors, lawyers, experts. You just go down the list of all the things that you can name that when you, the stuff that comes to your mailbox, that stuff that comes to your spam on the email where folks are clamoring for your attention. Just give us your money and trust us for this. And I just want to say along that line, the strident voices, the number of places you could place your trust. And then thirdly, to know that there is only one place that takes primacy above all the others. All the clamor, all the strident voices, and I'm telling you this, there's only one place to put the trust. There can be no doubt of where it is. It is in God. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the psalmist says over and over again, put your trust in the Lord. There's only one place. And boy, the world just has an apoplectic seizure when you say there's only one way. It is good for us Bible believers to be reminded of the single, solitary, legitimate place to put your trust. There is only one place. Of the singularity of it, there aren't multiple ways. There are not multiple ways to be right. There are not multiple ways to get to heaven. There are not, multiple gods. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one way. There is one door. There is no other hope. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And may I say, there is one Bible. They clamor. There are just tons and tons of places that you could go put your trust and waste your time and waste your energy and waste your effort. And what the Bible says is there's one place it belongs. You should put your trust in God. Where have you put it? Where have you put it? Education? All the social upheaval stuff, all of the charlatans that roam around talking big on the radio and the TV, is that where you've put it? Or have you put it in God? And have you put it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way to God? I have a few verses to read you. I won't be long with it. I just wanted you to be convinced that I'm speaking from a position of authority in the matter. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. But I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted and Thou didst deliver them. They trusted in Thee and were not confounded. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Where should you put your trust? In God. In God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And if there can be any question about where your trust belongs, again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In Him shall the Gentiles trust. You're called to trust in God through Jesus Christ. There is no other place to place your trust. No matter how much the world clamors, no matter how much marketing goes on, no matter what your Wi-Fi connection allows you to see or hear, your trust belongs in God through Jesus Christ. So there's only one place of primacy. I want to say that trusting in the Lord is the attribute of God's greatest man. You know what they said about Jesus Christ as He hung on the cross, and it looked like a pitiful scenario. It looked like a man utterly and completely defeated. You know what it said? It said, His enemies, His mockers said, He trusted in God that He would deliver Him. Let Him deliver Him if He delighted in Him. And there hung a man that was on the point of death, hands nailed to the cross, feet nailed to the cross. And as those men stood there and mocked Him, it was certain that He would be defeated. Said, He trusted in God. Yeah, He did. You know what He did after He died on the cross? He rose from the dead. And then ascended up on high where He led captivity captive, gave gifts to men, and gave me a victory. My point, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Jesus Christ did trust in God, and God did deliver Him. Remember Hezekiah? Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, if you would, real quick. 2 Kings 18. There's so much Bible we could go through. I can't have you turning all over the place here this morning because we're wind up way short of time. But 2 Kings chapter 18, and I'm showing you this morning that God's greatest men, this was one of their attributes. They trusted in God. They trusted in Jesus Christ. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5, this is what it says of the great king Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Hezekiah stood alone among the kings of Judah as those who trusted God. He was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever saw. David, over and over, wrote again, "Put thy trust in the Lord." To this hour, David is recognized as one of God's greatest men, as one of the greatest characters in the Word of God. Here is Abraham. He is known as the father of our faith. Well, I say, isn't faith really the same about as trust? I mean, when it came down to it, the Lord said, "Abraham, I want you to take your family, leave your home, and go wander for the rest of your life." And Abraham believed God enough to do it. He trusted God. When the Lord said, "Abraham, look up in the sky, and you see those stars in the sky? That's how many kids I'm going to give you. Even though you're 100 years old, even though Sarah's 90, I'm going to give you that many kids through Sarah's womb." And the Bible says that Abraham believed God. In spite of the fact that his flesh was now dead, in spite of the deadness of Sarah's womb, Abraham stumbled not and trusted God for His Word. When it came the day, the Lord said, "Take your son Isaac," that promised son, "up on Mount Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering unto me." It turns out that Abraham did not have to kill Isaac, but he was willing to. He trusted God that far. My point is, you go through the Bible, you look at Daniel, you look at Josiah, you look at Abraham, Moses, David, all the way through, you will find God's greatest men have the attribute of putting their trust in God and not withdrawing it. I want to say furthermore, it is where men find power with God. Look in your Bibles in 1 Chronicles 5. First Chronicles 5, I have a few places for you to turn here real quick. First Chronicles chapter 5. Where do men find power with God? Where do men access God's power? First Chronicles chapter 5, go down to verse 18. And the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword, to shoot the bow and skillful in war, were 44,703 that went out to war. They made war with the Hagarites, remember that, with Jeter and Nephesh and Nodab. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried unto God in battle, and He was entreated of them because they put their trust in Him. He helped them in battle because they put their trust in Him. It cannot be clearer. If you will put your trust in Him, you will get something back. If you will put your trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you will get something back. You will get back not only the promise of eternal life, but you will get back eternal life. Now, my mother and father have been dead for a lot of years. They really have. Mom died my first year in Bible school. My dad died my second year in the ministry. And like I said, we've been in the ministry for 28 years. So they've been dead for a long time. I just want you to know, I have no question in my mind that I will see my mother and father again, because they had put their trust in Jesus Christ. It is not just a promise. It is true. If you want to know where to access the power of God, it is through putting your trust in God and putting your trust in Jesus Christ, by whom you go to God. I'll tell you something else along these lines. Take your Bibles and turn to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Oh, you will put your trust somewhere, I'll tell you that. Don't let anybody say that they won't, because they will and they do. There are all kinds of options that you have for putting your trust somewhere, but there is only one legitimate and singular spot that you can count on. And there's a place where there's power. Look in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. She has come to Boaz's field, and there she has settled in and is gleaning in the end rows. And it says in verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth was a convert. Ruth was a Moabitess that married into Naomi's family. She married a son. The son died. Everything went to hell in a handbasket in her life. And through that process, she progressed through to the point of trusting the God of Israel. I want you to see there, folks, that's the groundwork of conversion. Nobody is born trusting God. You grow to trust God. You go through a process of learning to trust God. One day you come to the point where you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Your sins are going to send you to hell. And you try and you go through the religious hoops and nothing works. And one day you learn that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate penalty. And if you can come to trust Jesus Christ, to put your trust in Jesus Christ, that's the answer. It's the groundwork of conversion. Where have you put your trust? Where have you put it? Notice something else. There is a place where the rubber meets the road. Look in your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. There is a place where the rubber meets the road. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now, did you get that? You're not trusting God unless you trust Him for every word. Now, I don't know about you, but I have an every word Bible. I don't have a some of the words Bible. I don't have a Bible with a bunch of verses omitted. I don't have a Bible with a bunch of verses added. I have an every word Bible. And the Bible says right there that I put my trust in God. The place where I put my trust, where I walk up and plug in and touch it is God's Word. Look in your Bibles, if you will, back to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. How can you trust God with your soul if you can't trust Him for His Word? It is the craziest thing, don't you think? That's where the rubber meets the road, the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 22. If you will, go down to verse 18. Let's start with verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, that is, those words. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Why? That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known unto thee this day, even unto thee, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, where you walk up and you find faith and where you find trust in God is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Trust is found where you walk up and seat in the Word and know for a fact that every single word of God is pure. You can't know Jesus Christ without knowing the Word of God. You can't have eternal life without believing the Word of God. That goes for the parts of the Word of God that you don't even like. I don't know about you, I don't like reading about a lake of fire where people go and burn forever. I don't like it. But it's true. You say, how do you know? Because God said it was true. And that's all. I just want you to know that it is at this point that the hottest place of the battle is. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in God through Jesus Christ. That is the hottest spot in the battle. Hezekiah, we read about Hezekiah earlier, 2 Kings 18. It said that there was no king after him, or for that matter, before him, that put his trust in God quite like Hezekiah did. Did you know that in that very chapter, 9 other times, Hezekiah's trust is brought back up where Sennacherib, a type of the devil, throws Hezekiah's trust in his face and tries that trust and tries to get Hezekiah to walk away from his trust in God. I'm telling you, folks, when it comes to the Word of God, the devil, it is all a desperate fight. You know, if you study battles, there are some places on a battlefield that an army simply will fight desperately down to the very last man, to the very last drop of blood. So I'm telling you that there are places you can find the devil will yield a little bit for you, but I'll tell you where he's going to fight most desperately: over the Word of God. That is why the Word of God is such a big deal. He's going to fight desperately for your soul. That is why when somebody does get saved, and somebody decides to try to live for God after they are saved, the devil absolutely in desperation fights to defeat that person. That's why you have some of the trouble that you do as a Bible-believing Christian, because the devil opposes you on that ground when he will oppose you on no other. It is the place of the most desperate fight. Now I would like to say, lastly, and you've now sat through a 9-point sermon. I tried to hurry it along. So my 9th and final point is that putting your trust in the Lord is the place of most sacred privacy. You know, we have folks tell us all the time on the street that asking them about whether they are saved or not, is private and it's none of your business. Well, I dare say it is my business. It's my job as a witness for Jesus Christ to ask you if you're saved. And it's your job, by the way, to ask me if I am. But they have a point. And the point is simply not that I'm wrong to ask you if you are saved or to tell you how to get saved. But they're right in the respect that it is a very, very private affair. Nobody else can know for sure. Nobody else can see for sure. You have to settle in your heart whether or not you do or will trust God. If you do or will trust God through Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. One day we all, man will stand before God and have to look into the eyes of He that has seen eternity and still does, and that God will sit and say unto you, okay, I've given you an eternal soul, and I've told you that I am God, and I've given you a currency. I've given you something that you can save, that you can be saved with. It's faith. I've told you that the way your soul is saved is by you putting your trust in me. You putting your trust in my Son, Jesus Christ. So here's this soul. Here's the goal. Here's the currency. Where did you put your trust? Where have you put it? How many times I've walked into my house and discovered that I set my keys in a different spot than I thought. Just this week, it was Friday, we came down and street preached. I got the mail, sorted the mail, had some mail I was going to take home, got home, realized I didn't have it. Did that mean I left it on the desk, in the bathroom, in the truck? Did it blow out the window? I found out yesterday at least I left it on the desk. I put it on the desk. But I got home and I didn't know where I had put it. You need to know where you've put your trust. Not just as a person who's saved, but after you're saved, you need to know where you have your trust. Because I'm telling you, trusting God through Jesus Christ for His Word is where you walk with God. It's where the battle is fought that we talked about this morning in Sunday school. Where have you put it? One day you'll stand before God. He'll look you in the eye and say, where did you put it? Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank You this morning for being plain and making clear to us where we should put our trust. Again, the clamor of the world, we're told to trust all manner of things. And even spiritually, all manner of repositories for a place that we're supposed to put our trust. I pray, Lord, this morning it would all be clear. I pray for somebody here that's never been saved. Help them to see their need for a Savior, a need for salvation, a need for a place to get rid of sin. Help them to know that they can trust Jesus Christ, that is the acceptable place of trust. Father, for all the rest of us that fight the good fight, I hope, of Jesus Christ as Christians, I pray You would help us to place carefully and knowingly our trust in God through Jesus Christ. May we be strong enough to trust Thy every word. May we be strong enough to trust Thee when Your ways don't meet our demands and when we think that You should do something different than how You've done it. Father, may we trust You when You say no. May we trust You when You give us a decision that does not go in our favor. I pray You would help us. We're called to put our trust in God. Help us, Father, we pray. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a couple minutes. Let me ask you what you're trusting. The invitation is obvious this morning if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never knowingly and wittingly put your faith in a man that came and bled and and suffered and died for your sins and rose from the dead, I beg of you to come. I beg you to come and receive Jesus Christ by faith. And by receive Him, I mean put your trust in Him. I bet you trusted your mother. You probably, at least at some level, trust the bank. We're all forced to buy car insurance and now health insurance. You have no option at some level but to trust it. I'm telling you the one real singular thing that you can trust in this life and the next is the God of the Bible, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. You access that God through Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Have you received Him? Have you put your trust in Him? Father, we're so thankful for a gospel that's simple and a salvation that's simplistic and uncomplicated. You did more for us than we know, Father, but we know that we have access to God through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for this gift of eternal life. I pray that you would bless as we get ready to close here pretty quick, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books this morning to number 228. 228. I told you this morning, I believe that trust and faith and belief are very much, in most respects, the same thing, whether or not you can find some shadow of difference between them. I'm not sure. I'm sure that I am supposed to place my trust and faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Number 228. I need Shatec paperwork, just so you know. If anybody is anybody that does not have it in yet, I'd like to get it in as soon as possible, please. See you back tonight, I hope, at 5:30 for prayer meeting, 6 o'clock for service. Let's be dismissed. Brother Overlander Paul, Senior, would you pray for us? All tonight.